Off the Ball.
GAA. What is it about the Dingle Peninsula that creates such great football? Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? There's a storied tradition down there, and they're obviously on a crest of a wave at the minute.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Tuesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Susanna Mullen. Coming up today, we have news of a new contract for one Munster and Ireland bright young star. Ireland named their new under-20s captain. France looks set to be without some big names for Ireland's visit in 2 weeks' time. And Wales and Scotland both named their squads for the upcoming Six Nations. Munster Rugby and the IRFU have announced a 2-year contract extension for Brian Gleeson that will keep him at the province until at least 2028. The 21-year-old back row forward, who won a Grand Slam with Ireland under-20s in 2023, has scored 2 tries in 26 appearances for Munster after coming up through the ranks at Thurles RFC, Rockwell College and Gary Owen Football Club. He made his Munster debut against the Sharks in the opening game of the 23-24 season and was called up by Andy Farrell for the Ireland senior squad last October but ended up missing out due to injury. Farrell is set to name his latest men's squad for the upcoming Six Nations tomorrow afternoon. And speaking of that Ireland squad being named tomorrow, there could be a more noticeable Ulster contingent after their good form over recent weeks. I was in Belfast for their 26-19 Challenge Cup win over Stade Francais on Saturday, and when asked after the game, Ulster head coach Richie Murphy and winger Robert Balakoon said that they are hopeful of a little more representation this time around.
I'm really hopeful. I think there's a number of players who are definitely further up the pecking order than they were this time last year, let's say. So, you know, that's on the back of the work that the guys are doing together in order to really putting on some good team cohesive moments. And you know, I think the big thing that we have at the moment is players fitting into our system and fitting into it really well. And once you execute like that, the team drags the individuals forward as well and puts them in a really good light.
Just to follow up on that, Robert, is that something that would be in your mind as a player when you're performing for Ulster week in, week out, that, you know, there's that stage that you would like to be involved in?
I think it's a bit different for me just because of, you know, the amount of time that I was out last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's always in the back of your head, but for me, just obviously having a tough enough season last year, I'm just trying to get as many games as I can under my belt, as many training sessions as I can under my belt this year. And yeah, if that leads to call up, that's out of my hands. That's just trying to play as well as I can each game, and, you know, a team performance each game as well.
You know, you're just trying to work out what the right game time is for each individual. Obviously, with the fact that today's game is a week out from international duty, not by any request, but we want to put our Irish players on the pitch. So that Andy Farrell can see how well they're going, and hopefully we'll get a few more in there.
Munster were the main bone of contention on last night's Monday Night Rugby, where Liam Toland and Gerry Thornley joined Michael McCarthy. And Gerry questioned the calibre of player coming through the Munster ranks, and also those who have left in recent seasons.
That's the scary thing. How far are Munster away? Like, the Limerick supply line of forwards, particular through the schools and club game, has almost dried up. There's a lack of quality coming through the system, albeit there's Brian Gleeson, there's Edwin Odogbu. And you look at all, and I've said this before, Michael, I know I'm repeating myself, but you look at the players that have left the building in the last 4 years and look at what's come in, like Peter Omani, Conor Murray, Simon Zeebo, Antoine Fisher, Orgie Snyman. You could go on and on and on, Joey Carberry. There's nothing like the same level of quality coming to replace.
My own personal opinion is that an awful lot of really good work is happening now in Munster, but rugby became a professional sport in 1995. So there's an awful lot of repair that has to be done that hasn't been done in time. Like the centres of excellence are all being, like the ribbons are being cut on them, they're being built at the moment. And you're kind of going, okay, there's a lot of time has passed that this has happened. I think that in Munster's club pedigree and history is so strong. That, for me, is where the solutions of the future would lie, as opposed to the schooling system. Because there's this long argument about, and I often hear when, like Leinster have the schools. Yeah, but like in Oil Crescent, my own local club, there's 450, 500 kids playing every weekend. Gary Owen across the road is similar. You know, Shannon up the way is similar. there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids playing the game in Limerick alone. I'm not as familiar with Cork. And there seems to be this kind of, well, we don't have the school system. Now, there's a lot of investment has happened in recent times, and Peter Smith, who was in the IRFU, obviously Jerry would know well, Peter Smith has brought finances into the school system, which itself will improve things. If the better coaches that are going in there, the more resources going in there will prove fruitful, but that's going to take time. I do think that the clubs have a unique story to tell in future Munster professional rugby and elite rugby. And that hasn't been unlocked because, like, an example I've often mentioned is the schools in Limerick panel their players, which is something that happens around the country. So if you have a kid who's not been picked for his school and he turns around to his coach and says, can I play for my local club? He'll be told he can't yeah. because the panelling system. But the same kid can ask the same coach. He says, well, that's interesting. I have a hurling match for Ballybrown or Patrick's Well. I have a Gaelic football match out in Adair. Can I play that? Oh, you can play as much Gaelic football as you like. And you can play the hurling match as well. Oh, I also have a soccer. I play with Somerville Rovers in Limerick City. Can I play that game? Oh, you can play that game too. So we have created an apartheid within our game because the panelling system denies that player the opportunity to play a match, be it for club, but he can play as many, or he or she can play as many games as they like in all the other courts.
Whilst Leinster's patchy form has been on the road to recovery in recent weeks, Liam Tolland was enthused to see the development of players such as Jack Boyle and Tommy O'Brien in particular.
It's been very different this year, and it's been a little bit more of a slog. And given, I suppose, how much over the last few years they have kind of sauntered into the knockout stages, something's a little bit different this year, and it might be no harm.
Well, obviously, in the aftermath of that win, there's injuries. So those injuries are going to be pretty telling for the Six Nations and where this Leinster team goes. And then there's players that have stepped up, like Tommy O'Brien has just been outrageously impressive in his work rate, in his ability, in his speed, and the impact he's having. And then there's other names like Joshua Kenny popping up, contributing hugely. Jack Boyle at Loosehead doing a huge amount as well. Like, it's been a season of snatches, I think. Like, Leinster have, in moments in time, they get the tempo, they get the flow, and all of a sudden, all these aforementioned players become very, very influential. Like that try that Dan Sheehan scored. Mm. Like, there's, in those conditions, there was some really, really beautiful play parts of the game. They had a lineup maul on the right-hand side of the pitch. They go into a midfield play, not dissimilar to what Bayonne did to them to score, and they chose a different route. And then Prendergast gets on and gets a lovely right-hander. It goes in, they carry, they all make good decisions. No one gets really isolated. And then they keep flooding into the zone. And then Dan Sheehan, I won't say he was jogging, but he just was in the right place at the right time. And then just powers onto it and scores a try. And it looks so easy, looks so comfortable. There's accuracy, there's pace, there's very little time spent on the deck. It's all kind of the ball staying off the ground, and it looks absolutely brilliant. That's when they're at their best. And there's a lot of times where the opposition have questioned their defensive system. We saw this game. And there's lots of times where the opposition have put them in places of darkness and they got dragged down into it. So it's hard to know exactly what Leinster need to do better in order to be better. But we can see glimpses of sheer brilliance. And Prendergast, some of the touches, and Harry Byrne, some of the touches. Mm. For Prendergast's try, Harry Byrne chipped over. And of course, the ball bounces the way it does. I think Bayan could have, maybe the substitute winger could have done better in getting to the pitch of it. But there's moments of the season where Leinster look absolutely fantastic.
And if you want to listen to any of that chat back, you can do so on your Off the Ball Rugby podcast feed now. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. On the French side then, head coach Fabien Galthié is set to name a 42-player training group tomorrow to prepare for the 2026 Six Nations, which kicks off on the 5th of February with a home match against Ireland in Paris. According to L'Equipe, Damien Penaud, the 29-year-old winger for Bordeaux Bègles, and France's all-time leading try scorer with 40 tries, will likely not be included in the squad. Centre Gael Ficou, one of France's most experienced players with 98 caps, is also set to be missing from the list. Ficou had been captain on last summer's tour to New Zealand and started at centre against South Africa and Australia in November, making his exclusion particularly notable. In addition to Penaud and Ficou, Key playmaker Roman Entomac is out of the squad entirely due to a kidney injury, meaning he's expected to miss at least the first two Six Nations matches. Elsewhere, Gary Keegan, performance coach with the IRFU, joined Colin Boog and Jared Gilroy on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, and the high-performance expert explained why reflecting on success is important.
I'm kind of fascinated by the balance in celebrating a success properly and then moving on. Like you're talking about the Dublin footballers and the Tipperary hurlers and the Cork hurlers, the Lions, the Irish rugby team. Is it important to like reflect on your success?
Yeah, I remember speaking to Johnny Sexton about this. We were talking about that relationship piece. I said, what do you think really drives the cohesion within the group? He said, when we win together and we celebrate that together. He said, but it's short-lived. And I remember reflecting afterwards that we don't spend any time on success. Not interesting.
Yeah.
Apart from enjoying it, right? There's a fulfillment in knowing that you've gone out and delivered. But there'll be players coming off that pitch saying, I could have done better. We dive into failure and we brush over success. It's interesting, isn't it?
Why do you think we do
that? I don't know. I think failure gets everybody's attention and all of a sudden there's an energy around and we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to put the jigsaw back together. Whereas success has indicators of what we did well. Right, and we don't give it the same level of thought or review as we do failure. And that's something that I think we need to give it the same respect, because success is something that if you look into it and what has caused it, you can then repeat it rather than having to fix things that are sitting there. So we need to respect both spaces without applying a greater energy to one over the other.
And remember, that is in your podcast feeds now to listen back and enjoy. And you can also tune into Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app or on YouTube. Leinster's Academy prop Sam Bishti has been confirmed as captain for Ireland under-20s in the 2026 under-20 Six Nations Championship, after head coach Andrew Brown named a 29-player squad for the early rounds of the tournament. Bishti, who has been playing for UCD in the Energia All-Ireland League this season, skippered Blackrock College to Leinster School's Senior Cup success last year, and will lead the Ireland under-20s as they bid to recover from last year's difficult championship, where they finished bottom of the table with just one win. Just four of that 2025 squad remain in place this year, with Leinster trio Donica Maguire, Charlie Maloney and Derry Maloney, as well as Munster's Tom Wood, son of former Ireland captain Keith, playing a second year of under-20s. Brown has also included recent Leinster Academy back row Josh Neal in his squad. The highly rated teenager only linked up with the province's academy this month following his arrival from South Africa, and the Irish qualified flanker scored two tries in Saturday's 29-10 warm-up win against Italy in Dublin. Ireland get their championship campaign underway in France before returning home to Virgin Media Park in Cork to face Italy on Friday the 13th of February. Experienced pair Johnny Gray and Dave Cherry return to the Scotland squad in time for this year's Six Nations, while there are places for young Edinburgh duo Liam McConnell and Freddie Douglas. The 40-man strong squad, chosen by head coach Gregor Townsend, compromises 23 forwards and 17 backs. Adam Hastings and Fergus Burke will provide competition and cover for star fly half Finn Russell. Ben White and George Horn are the scrum halves, with Jamie Dobie an option at number 9, but currently thriving on the wing for Glasgow Warriors. Captain Sione Tuipulotu is joined by Glasgow teammates Hugh Jones and Stafford McDowell, and Northampton Saints' Rory Hutchison are the specialist centres. The back three selection will come from Blair Kinghorn, Tom Jordan, Kyle Rowe and Ollie Smith, who are all options at fullback, along with Duane van der Merwe, Darcy Graham, Kyle Stein and Dobie. Scotland open their tournament in Rome on the 7th of February, then host England before a trip to Cardiff on three successive Saturdays. France visit Murrayfield on the 7th of March, and Scotland are then in Dublin for the final round of fixtures 7 days later. Scotland finished fourth last year, with third place in 2023 and 2018, their best showing so far in Townsend's 8 previous attempts. On the Welsh side then, boss Steve Tandy named his first Six Nations squad, as Welsh rugby was plunged into further uncertainty today. Tandy's 38-man squad was announced as the domestic game was left reeling again, less than 3 weeks before their championship opener against England at Twickenham. The Welsh Rugby Union has proposed cutting one of its four men's professional sides, the Cardiffs, Dragons, Ospreys or Scarlets, much to the chagrin of fans throughout the country. The WRU board met on Monday and considered the recommendation from the executive leadership team on the sale of Cardiff Rugby. Two consortiums have submitted final bids, and the WRU said it, quote, hopes to finalise the detailed negotiations with the preferred bidder and sign a binding agreement within a matter of weeks. It is understood Osprey's owners, Y11 Sport and Media, are the preferred bidder, allowing the two sides to effectively become one team. There were 14 players named in the Welsh squad from the Blues and Ospreys, 7 from each team, with skipper Jack Morgan absent after dislocating his shoulder in the Autumn Series opener against Argentina at the start of November. Veteran number 8, Talub Fellatau, has also missed out through a calf injury, with Callum Sheedy, Nick Tompkins, Rio Dyer and Tommy Rafael also among the notable absentees. Wales internationals Dan Lydiate, Duncan Jones and Rhys Patchell returned to the backroom team on an interim basis, having been recruited for the Autumn Series that produced just one win against Japan from 4 games. The promise of an encouraging attacking display against New Zealand was destroyed by an embarrassing 73-0 defeat to South Africa the following week, albeit Wales were without their England and France-based players because the match was played outside the official test window. Wales have finished bottom of the Six Nations for the past 2 years now, failing to register a single victory. That is about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily, but check in tomorrow for all of Andy Farrell's Ireland Six Nations squad news. I'm Susanna Mullen, and we'll be back with more tomorrow. Chat to you then.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.